KPFT. On Facebook, visit us at facebook.com/KPFT Houston. This is commercial-free, listener-sponsored Pacifica Radio, 90.1 KPFT Houston.
Mike Honig on KPFT 90.1 FM. My engineer, my friend, Egberto Willis. He has his own show Thursdays from 3 to 4, Politics Done Right. Here we do all kinds of stuff. We do politics-ish. We do stuff. 713-526-5738. Open lines, open forum. I'm just going to throw out some things, and you can talk about whatever you want, or you can talk about something I've mentioned, or whatever epiphanies you've had during the week since we last spoke. I want to point out tomorrow is Election Day. If you have not early voted, well, you missed your best shot for an easy process. But polls are open tomorrow until 7 p.m. I think it's 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. You can go to harrisvotes.com. and find your polling place and a sample ballot for where you live. You can go to votetexas.gov. And if you don't live in Harris County, you can find voting information there. I want to emphasize that while this is what is termed an off-year election, this election is probably more important to you than the presidential election next year, because the entire Houston government is up for a vote. Okay, we're talking the mayor, the controller, the city council. You've got a whole lot of different, you've got the school board, HISD school board, which is not on the ballot in some places, is on the ballot in some other places. This really is a very, very important election, and typically we get something like a 10% turnout. We want at least a 35% turnout. We want at least the kind of turnout we get for the congressional elections, the so-called off-year elections, because these people in city government are going to have far more impact on your day-to-day life than even a presidential election. If you have not voted, tomorrow is your last chance. If you aren't registered, you know what? Now you've got the next 10 months to register. You can get information on that at harrisvotes.com and votetexas.gov. Vote, 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 vote. If you don't vote, man, I hate to tell you, we're all screwed. So, 713-526-5738. I also want to point out that it is now time to think about getting your health insurance. If you don't have health insurance, or if you've lost your health insurance over the course of the year, the open enrollment period for Obamacare, the so-called Obamacare, it's actually the Affordable Care Act, you can go to healthcare.gov, and you can start looking at the various plans. It's extremely possible that you qualify for some kind of a subsidy. There are things called the Medicaid donut hole. I hope you don't have to learn about that, but go to healthcare.gov. If you don't have health care insurance, or if you've recently lost your health care insurance, go there and see if you can find something that's affordable. But the law does require you now to carry some kind of insurance. And don't forget prescription, and if you can afford it, and if there's something available, think about dental. Vote, 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 vote. I don't know how many times I can say that. It must get tiresome. But you know what's tiresome? People who don't vote. Let's see. Russian passenger plane crashes in Sinai after, quote, coming apart in midair. Okay, they can frame this any way they want, but as a general rule, when planes come apart in midair, they've had some external assistance in doing so, whether it's a bomb or a missile. I'm just going to say, I think at the end of the day, that's what it's going to turn out to have been. Over the Sinai, which is practically a no man's land now, it's like the Israelis must be saying, thank God that we let them have it back. It's a mess. Of course, you could also argue if the Israelis were there, they would have had more control, but that's a different thing entirely. China ends the two-child policy. Now, I don't know how many of you guys remember this, but I've been talking about the demographic notch, the demographic collapse that China is going to have, is in the process of having, for quite a while now, probably almost as long as I've been on the air. It comes up periodically. And now it's beginning to be a top-of-mind issue internationally because China changed this policy. All of a sudden, it's back in the news. Turkey votes for the strongman, basically slowly voting away their democracy. Walmart removes Made in USA logos because, you know, some of them weren't. And Sears. I had an experience with Sears that literally breaks my heart. You know, I used to work for them. I spent about 6 years working for Sears, which is a story in and of itself. Kmart took them over around 2004. Dark day. Dark, dark day. I may talk more about that depending on how the show ends up progressing. Okay, open line, 713-526-5738. We do have a caller on the line, Scott. Scott, you're on the air. How are you doing tonight?
Fine, thank you. Can anyone honestly believe that the Greater Houston Partnership would support an ordinance that would let men invade women's restrooms? How about Apple? How about the Houston Chronicle?
I'm sorry, I don't get your spin here.
Oh.
I mean, I know you're talking about Prop 1.
It's a big business association in Houston. It's supporting the Houston Equal Rights Ordinance.
Okay.
And opponents are charging that it would let men invade women's restrooms. Apple supports it. The Houston
supports Proposition 1. Supports Prop 1.
Yes.
Okay, Apple supports Prop 1. Who else is supporting Prop 1?
The Houston Chronicle, Apple.
Well, we know that the Houston Chronicle is a hotbed of socialist communist tendencies, so if they're supporting Prop 1, it must be horrible.
The Cold War is over. The Soviet Union dissolved January 1st, 1992. That's almost a generation away. The Cold War has been over for a generation. This talk about communism is absolutely ridiculous.
I agree. But you know, it's still the bugaboo.
Anybody who is worried about communism is hopeless, is really living in the past. Now, I know there's China and there's North Korea, but are they really communist? I think China is an authoritarian state, and North Korea is an absolute monarchy.
Yeah, communism... there really has never been a communist nation. There really never has
been.
All communist nations, at the end of the day, were authoritarian organizations that aggrandized the people at the top, which sounds a lot like modern corporations. But there has never been a truly communist country. However, when you say that there is a whole generation that has passed since the collapse of the Soviet Union, you forget that there are 2 to 3 generations that are still alive from before the collapse of the Soviet Union.
Okay.
And Jack McDevitt, who is a well-known science fiction writer, very interesting guy, he once coined a phrase, I don't know if it's original to him, that civilization changes one funeral at a time.
Okay,
and that's maudlin, but it's basically
Estonia,
true.
Who said he was born after independence. Estonia became independent in 1991. Now,
right.
I was there in 2009.
And?
Yes. And, see, he was born after they broke away from the Soviet Union.
Yeah?
Yeah.
But, I mean, what's your point on that?
And, you know, I have been in the Soviet Union only in the sense of being in Estonia, Latvia, and Lithuania. I've not been in Russia or Belarus or any other former republics.
And of course, when you talk about going into the Baltic republics, they were very anti-Russian. They felt overall, I think you can generalize by saying they felt like occupied countries because they were occupied countries.
But they do have Russian-speaking minorities, especially Latvia. And I had a taxi driver in Riga, and he said he spoke Russian, and it seemed his loyalties were definitely to Russia, not to Latvia.
Well, there are ethnic Russians in these countries because the Soviets were trying to Russianize everybody.
Yeah. Oh, he said he said Latvia is going to go bankrupt. I think he even expressed some admiration for the Soviet system.
Yeah, you get that.
Yeah.
Yep.
2009.
Okay, Scott, I appreciate your call. I've got another person on the line. I like to try to get everybody in, but I thank you for calling. Is there anything you want to say as a final word? Or are you good?
I voted on the 19th, and of course I voted for HERO, Proposition 1.
As did I.
Yes, I've been doing volunteer work. I was at the headquarters today.
HERO, in my opinion, and then I'm going to let you go, but I want to repeat this. HERO is about equality before the law. If you want your friends and your neighbors and your community and your family members, whatever their gender identity or their ethnicity or anything else, religion, if you want everybody to have equality before the law and not carve out groups who don't, you must vote for Proposition 1 as a yes.
I also think it is about fighting propaganda. There has been this absolutely atrocious propaganda campaign against it.
Yes.
Based on a groundless interpretation of the law. I don't think any defense lawyer would try using it when defending a male client who had invaded a women's restroom.
There are already laws against that.
Yeah, there are. And HERO does not have any language that modifies that other ordinance.
You know, there was the conservative take on things is they create their own reality. On Mythbusters,
they do.
On Mythbusters, one of the great quotes, and the name, it's the red-haired guy, and his name escapes me at the moment because I'm getting old. And he made a quote that after a particular experiment turned out totally different from what he expected, he said, "I reject your reality and substitute my own." And that should be the tagline for most conservative movements. They reject our reality and substitute their own.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, I have to let you go. I got another caller, but I thank you for calling, Scott.
All
right, we have open lines, 713-526-5738. One of the things I also want to throw out as a potential discussion topic, and we were having a very active discussion that I kind of broke into, right, Egberto? We were having a very active...
Yeah, as usual, you're rude and you broke into a good conversation.
But I like to feel that I made a contribution to expanding... What can I say? I'm from New York and old habits die hard.
Yes, anyway, you're from New York.
Yeah. Okay. Rude Northeasterner, what can I tell you? Even I argue with New Yorkers when I go back to visit. It's really quite sad. But one of the questions that I want to pose... What does the phrase Black Lives Matter mean to you? Now, I think we understand what it meant to the people that created the phrase and have tried to make that phrase part of our consciousness. But I think we've seen that there are a lot of different interpretations of the nuances of how people interpret that phrase. So I think this is an interesting question. What does the phrase Black Lives Matter mean to you, and what doesn't it mean? 713-526-5738. Okay, I'm going to do a quick ID so we don't have to do it in a minute and a half. You're listening to Think Wing Radio with Mike Honig on KPFT 90.1 FM in Houston. My engineer and friend is Egberto Willis. He has his own show Thursdays from 3 to 4 p.m. called Politics Done Right. Here we talk about almost anything. You know, it could be politics, it could be space travel, it could be social studies, it could be science, it doesn't matter. Okay, I know that Egberto is on the phone. Can he put Juliet on the air? Let's see. In fact, yes, Juliet, you're on the air on Think Wing Radio. How are you doing tonight?
I'm doing very well. My name is Juliet Stabudge, and I also serve on the HISD school board as the trustee for District 8.
Okay, and I guess you're running then for re-election.
I am.
Now, the HISD trustees are not going to appear on every ballot. They didn't appear on my ballot. So
no.
you're talking about a specific district now.
Yes, I'm District 8.
Okay.
It is an extraordinarily diverse district. And
where would that be? Geographically, what are we talking about?
Geographically, we're talking about half of the former North Forest. I dropped down into Denver Harbor, the area around Fur High School, some of the avenues, Houston Country Club, Idlewood, Eastwood, the Central Business District. I have part of Midtown, part of Montrose, and part of Heights.
Sounds a little like a gerrymander, doesn't it?
It is, but I think that my district is a tale of two cities.
Okay. So I guess since you're calling, you might want to tell us what are the important issues to you. Now, we're going to emphasize tomorrow is Election Day, and I'm not taking any sides because we are a 501c3 organization, nonprofit educational, so I'm not supposed to take a political position.
No,
per
you're
se.
Not.
So I'm going to let you take the political position because you're a caller, and I'm just going to go, mm-hmm, and ask questions.
Well, the election for the HISD school board for the four different candidates that are on the ballot tomorrow is extraordinarily important because we are seeking a new vision for HISD. We are going to be the folks, and the nine members of the school board will be selecting the new superintendent. And Dr. Greer will be resigning effective March 1st, 2016. And so this board will be selecting the leader that will be assisting the Board of Education in determining the future trajectory of where the district will be going. Right now, we have a extremely difficult set of circumstances in terms of the current administration's mismanagement of the 2012 bond programs, but we also have the issues concerning academics in terms of trying to make sure that we have excellence and equity in education throughout the district. And right now we have a lot of inequity going on. So I think the critical issue that is in place right now is the handling of the 2012 bond and making sure that we deliver on the promises that are made, that we follow through on the internal audit that demonstrated that the district was not appropriately managing the dollars that were given to us by the public to make sure that 40 new high schools and schools were delivered to the public, but also that we have an effective system in place to make sure that industry's best practices and standards are put in place to allow an efficient economical administration of the 2012 bond program, which is not taking place at present. This is also a referendum on the superintendent policies and programs, which was heavily tainted with education reform. And that word is very politically charged. I tell folks that, you know, while there is a lot that should be done in the schoolhouse to make sure that every dollar is effectively spent, that we have great teachers, principals, and support staff at every campus, that we must also make sure that the administrative office at Hattie Mae White is held accountable as well.
You know, reform, I think, has become a meaningless word because
Absolutely.
It means whatever you want it to mean. You know, to Republicans,
right.
to conservatives, tax reform means things like flat taxes.
Right.
So, you know, I wouldn't consider that tax reform, but anything that changes what is current, they consider to be reform. And I guess in some sense it is. So reform is a very tricky word.
It is.
So
I mean, any word, depending on the person that's using it, has a different type of leaning or tendency or, you know, something that could be associated with it. For me, when I first started on the school board in 2010 when I first started on the school board. It was before the legislative session in 2011 where $5.4 billion was cut to public education. I tell folks, with very rose-colored lenses. I was coming in and thinking that I was going to make good schools better and that we would be focused on the well-being of children. And I entered into a system where I realized that it was so heavily laden with politics, power, and corruption. And so for the past 5 years, I've been working on the school board trying to make sure that we reform the system in a way that we prioritize the needs of children, especially those that live in poverty, that we have reform happening at the administrative level so that way dollars can best and most effectively be expended on children, on teachers, and our support staff, especially since 80% of the children that are in HISD are deemed economically disadvantaged.
All right,
at present, most people don't know that.
I think there's a perception. I'm going to ask you two questions, and I'm going to give you time for brief answers, and then I'm going to have to let you go because I've got some other callers. Number one, there is a proposition from the state of Texas to cut property taxes. Your position on that?
I think that that could be detrimental to the school district, but the one, Prop 7, is even more problematic in terms of actually allocating state funding towards transportation, which will directly take away dollars from public education.
Okay.
So both Prop 1 and Prop 7 are problematic for public education.
All right. I will tell you that I voted no on Prop 1, and I voted yes on the splitting of funds because we need funds for roads. It's not a great solution. Yeah, I absolutely agree. What we actually need is to stop cutting taxes and start deciding where we want to raise taxes because you get the government you pay for.
Well, the thing that I find extraordinarily problematic with the rhetoric that was used with both Prop 1 and Prop 7 is that, you know, that no new taxes are going to be raised. But I tell folks it's like Santa Claus doesn't exist, nor does the Tooth Fairy. Somehow, somewhere, people will have to pay, and it'll either come from the kids or it'll come in some other way.
You know, in 1930, I think it was 38, Franklin Roosevelt made a famous speech, and I can't quote it exactly, but the essence of it was that the Republicans running against him are talking about how badly he's running the New Deal, all the terrible things he's doing. And he says, so what they're saying is they're going to run these programs better. They won't cost any more money. In fact, they won't cost anybody anything, but the conservatives, the Republicans, are going to do it better. And that is kind of the mantra we're getting today. You know, if you can, they keep saying you have to do more with less. But the final extension of that is you have to do everything with nothing.
Right. The thing is, it's like I told folks, in my 5 years on the school board, I'm tired of putting lipstick on a pig. If I go into the hospital and I present with the symptoms of a heart attack, I don't want a plastic surgeon to make me look more beautiful, nor do I want somebody to put me in a Chanel suit. I want somebody to cure my illness. Right now we have a public education system that's being bled dry left and right, not being appropriately funded. We have a case pending before the Texas Supreme Court. We need to have a true allocation of funding that's going to be equitable so that way we can offer excellent education to every single child. And these propositions are in no way going to be beneficial to children in our future.
Well, you know, one of the things that I've come to notice, and I'm going to sort of get the last word here and then I'm going to have to let you go.
Absolutely.
One of the things that I have noticed what conservatives do, and it goes back to what you're talking about, is they starve different programs and institutions of funding. Then they claim government doesn't work. And then they want to privatize it.
Well, I will.
And that's what they're doing with like charter schools.
Here, please look at the audit of the 2012 bond program, and the people in the city of Houston will be extraordinarily shocked in terms of a program that has not been effectively managed, and how the public dollars need to be appropriately managed in a method that will allow us to be able to deliver the promises that we made in 2012.
We get the government we pay for, and we have to look at raising revenue in ways that are fair and progressive. I'm going to have to let you go, Juliet,
but I appreciate your calling.
Thank you so much. Okay, Juliet's running for office, Houston Trustee District 8, I believe it was. All right, we have open lines, 713-526-5738. Again, I'm going to do a little bit of an early station ID because I have a feeling we're going to be chatting a little bit. You're listening to ThinkWing Radio at KPFT 90.1 FM, Houston. My engineer, Egberto Willis, has his own show Thursdays, 3 to 4 p.m., Politics Done Right. Here, we're doing politics today, apparently. Next caller, Yolanda. Is it Yolanda or Jolanda?
It's Jolanda.
And I think you're in public life, are you not?
I used to be in public life. Yes, I'm about to be back in it if the voters vote me in tomorrow.
Okay. Because you are a caller, if you want to take a couple of minutes and talk about what you're running for and what your positions are, I'll give you a couple of minutes to do that.
Yeah, I'm running for HISD School Trustee District 4.
Might want to give us your full name.
HISD.
No, your full name.
Trustee. Oh, I'm sorry, Jolanda Jones.
Okay.
I'm running for HISD Trustee District 4. I'm running because I'm actually the most progressive candidate in the race. I want to keep our neighborhood schools open and not close them. 58 schools in black and brown neighborhoods were closed compared to only 8 in Anglo neighborhoods. That's inequitable on its face. I want to hire a superintendent who does not want to close schools, who wants to give what was promised when they were campaigning for the bond. I want to have an audit done, and I want it done by an independent agency where once the agency is hired to audit the bond money, that HISD has nothing to do with it until the investigation is over. Because I know when I was on city council, we had a bunch of quote-unquote independent audits where we basically told the auditors, not me, but the establishment, told the auditors what our expectations were, and the audits came back with exactly what we wanted. So I want a legitimate independent audit. I want to put trades and vocational training back in the schools, because not everyone is going to go to college.
I agree with that.
And although I went to college and I went to law school, I know right now my air conditioner is broken, and I know that I have to pay $13,000 to get my air conditioner fixed, and you don't have to have a college degree for that.
I want to say something. I just want to say something about that. I agree with you completely. Not everybody is cut out for academia. Not everybody is cut out for college. I would also add, however, though, that while I am in favor of vocational training for people who want it or need it, I don't think that excludes the opportunity to go to college, because you can be an intellectually starving person who still wants to work with their hands.
No, I can tell you that when I was in my great public schools that I went to, and I'm a product of HISD and AISD, A-List Independent School District, and while I was in AP courses, so I took all my reading, writing, arithmetic, science, calculus, I also was in IT industrial technology, where I welded a candelabra, where I was a carpenter, I built a planter, where I learned how to take apart and put together lawnmower motors. So I had options, and that's what I want. I want for our kids to have options. All you have to do, people can do nails, people can cut hair, people can make nice, honest livings, and I do not want to stigmatize people who don't want to go to college. But I also want for our kids to be competitive in the maths and sciences and read and write proficiently, so that if they want to go to college and they want to be a doctor or a lawyer or something else, that they have those opportunities. But right now, it's like we label kids, if you don't go to college, you're a failure. And I think that's a problem.
Let me say, if I may, I would like to say something to that. Substantially, okay. I agree with you. I am a firm believer in a liberal arts education, a diverse education, where people have some grounding in history and social studies and geography and math and science and vocational arts, you know, woodwork, metalwork, whatever. I believe in a generalized liberal arts education, which then allows people to make an informed choice of what they like and what they're good at. But I don't believe that a vocational education should preclude some college. I was a drapery installer for 20 years. I've got 2 years of college. I'm grateful for those 2 years of college that were affordable and didn't put me in any debt at all. I'm grateful for those. I feel that it has an enormous impact on my ability to conceptualize what's going on in the world and how history bears on that. But I was in trade for 20 years.
But what I just said is I want it all. I want kids to have options.
I agree.
I want the kids to have options to go to college or have options to do other things that they love, like hair or whatever it is. So I haven't said pick one or the other. I've said give them options, expose them to a liberal education so that they can decide what they want to do.
I appreciate that.
Okay, so that is super important to me. I have the endorsement of the teachers. I have the endorsement of HESP, which are the educational support system of the teachers, the janitors, the bus drivers, you know, the teacher aides, those types. I have those endorsements, have all the major endorsements, the GOVT political caucus, the Tejano Democrats, the Houston Black American Democrats, because people know I am a perfect example of what a great public school education can get you. Your life can be your oyster. I think that that's super, super important. I think we need to develop and retain good teachers. I think we need to stop emphasizing all these high-stakes tests. You don't need to be able to take a high-stakes test to be a productive grown-up.
I was terrible on tests. I was.
But look how well I did in law school. Look how well I did in college. I sucked on the SAT. I sucked on the LSAT. And they told me I shouldn't go to college, and they told me I shouldn't go to law school. However, I've had a very successful career as a lawyer. I graduated at the top of my class, one of the top students in my class in college and in high school. And I never was a good test taker. It wasn't until I went to law school and I did a good job in law school that the law firm actually paid to have me take a bar preparation course. And voila, I all of a sudden learned how to take tests, and I scored so high on the bar that I checked twice to make sure they gave me my right score.
Okay, Jolanda, I'm going to cut you off because I have other callers, and I have just one point I want to make before I let you go. And I'm going to give you the plug. Jolanda Jones, running for HID Trustee 4, District 4. So she may or may not be on your particular ballot, but she's running Jolanda Jones, HISD District 4. But I'm going to make a point, and I want to get your very brief sense of it before I go on to my other callers.
Okay.
You used the term Anglo. I personally object to the term Anglo.
I am white.
My ancestry is at least 1,500 miles throughout history of being Anglo. I am not Anglo. And I would rather be called white than be called Anglo. I'm just saying. Anglo is Anglo-Saxon. It's British. 100 years ago, that might have applied down here in Texas. You had British. You had German. I am not Anglo. And there are a lot of whites down here who are not Anglo. And personally, I mean, this is like my thing. I realize I'm like a minority in this. I don't like being classified as an Anglo because I was never close to having British or German or at least British ancestry. I'm not Anglo-Saxon.
There are actually white Latinos.
There are white Latinos, and there are...
My grandmother called herself Negro. I actually call myself Negro, believe that or not. Another story for another day. Some black
people
call
themselves
black. Some call themselves African-Americans. So... rather than
Anglo is too narrow.
Or some Latinos call themselves Hispanic or Chicano.
Yes. We all are multiple. I'm Eastern European. I'm Jewish. I'm Russian, Ukrainian, Galician, Austrian, Hungarian.
I think
but
we got
I ain't
it.
Anglo.
I think we got it.
Except that when you look at the labels, when they have you put stuff, when they mark you on your ballot, it's like Anglo or black. Or Pacific American or Native American.
No, it is not Anglo. It's white.
That's what they put on there.
It's not Anglo. It's white.
Yeah.
It is white. It is not Anglo. Anyway, all right. I'm giving you a hard time, and I apologize. I'm sure you'll do a great job if you're elected.
And I will tell you, all this tax cuts, people, government has to be run. We need a way to generate revenue. And I got to tell you, all this cutting of public education dollars is craziness.
The idea is to cut education dollars so that public education fails, so that conservatives can say private education would be so much better. That's the plan.
Let me tell you something. When you're shutting down neighborhood schools and kids have to get up and they spend 4 extra hours getting to and from school, and their parents then have to figure out how to get them to and from school, kids aren't even like being able to be kids.
I agree with you.
And it's just not right.
School starts.
Also, in a neighborhood school, whoever lives in that neighborhood can go to that school. That's not the same for charter schools.
I have said this many times. School starts too damn early. Jolanda, I'm going to have to let you go. I wish you good luck with the election.
Thank you. You have got to get out and you got to vote. You got to make
yes,
it count.
You betcha. Tomorrow's the day. Thank you so much for calling.
Seven to seven.
Thank you. Okay, I guess. Since we're doing candidate calls, I guess I should say, if you're running for something, we have to give you equal time, or at least some time, if you feel inclined to call. And we also have open lines, 713-526-5738, candidates, non-candidates, equal opportunity radio show here. You're listening to KPFT 90.1 FM. This is Think Wing Radio with Mike Koenig. My engineer and compadre is Egberto Willis, has his own show Thursdays 3 to 4, Politics Done Right. Here, apparently, we're doing politics. Okay, next caller up is Gary. Gary, thank you so much for calling. You've had to listen through a lot of interesting stuff, hopefully interesting.
By God, I got to change the subject here.
Okay.
First, thank you very much on the Anglo comment, speaking as a person of Irish descent.
Okay, that's another thing, isn't it?
I'm t- telling you.
Celtic is not Anglo.
Calling me Anglo's fighting words.
Yes, sir. I've had that discussion with some people, and they get upset when I talk about the British Isles. Like, I'm from Ireland. It's not part of the British Isles.
By God, we had a war and everything. But listen, I want to address three strange, ironic confluences that I've read in the paper about religion. Okay, number one is the hero thing, and that guy, what's his name, Stephen Holtz.
Hoetze, I think, is the name.
Radical anti-gay.
Oh my Lord! Yeah, he's radical, ultra evangelical, right wing, anti-choice,
and
he's been incredibly politically powerful in this city for at least two decades.
And then we had this issue with the KDISD, where the teacher was brought to task for saying that God was not a fact, okay, which was just a learning exercise.
Well, actually, I'm glad you brought that up. Actually,
hold on.
That is not what the teacher said. That is not what the teacher said.
The teacher had a test that was intended to teach the children to differentiate between fact, opinion, and subjective observation. I guess she called
something
it
something like that.
They they had the superintendent, and the little girl went up and gave us a little talk about how the teacher threatened her religion by saying God was not a fact. And at the same time, there was a big demonstration in spring by people out there marching in the street because of the Greater Church of Lucifer. Now, I would like to say for all three of these individuals, and it was ironic that it all happened in the last couple of 3 weeks, they need two things, all right?
Yeah.
They need to get a Google YouTube account, and they need to go down to the hardware store and buy some really sharp knives, because I'm having trouble differentiating this reaction, other than the violence of it, from the Islamic State people cutting people's heads off.
Oh, there's no difference.
Crucifying
them. Yeah, no difference.
And I can't believe that we get irate about the so-called Muslims over in Iraq and Syria killing people because they don't believe. I mean, what we're talking about here is tolerance. And thank God that our Constitution has no religious test, and that you cannot justify any religion over any other in our great country, and that's why it's great.
I agree.
These people shame me as an American.
Now, I'm gonna say something really quick. This is my opinion. God is not a fact. And that is proven by the fact that religion is considered to be a faith. If you have faith in something, that faith is, whether there are or are not facts, you decide to take something on faith. And God is not a fact. God is something people take on faith. By definition.
Let me answer that by saying that I heard someone read today about the new Episcopal bishop, the first black Episcopal bishop, and it upset me because he was quoted as saying, God has not given up on the world, and God is not ready to let the Episcopal faith. Really? God? God doesn't bother me one bit. It's human beings that tell me what God says.
You
talk to God? Now, atheists are just as wrong. By virtue of definition, no human bug can know what God thinks, means, or plans. And when you say, I'm an atheist, there is no God, how do you know? Or to say, I'm a believer and there is a God, how do you know? How do you know what God's plan is? How do you know that human beings aren't just a step on the way, like chimpanzees and dinosaurs? What's God's ultimate plan? That's what irritates me, is not religion or faith or belief. I think religion has done a lot to help civilization from being a jungle. We have had a lot of...
Sometimes religion is the reason that the world is a jungle. It varies.
Well, we're animals, and religion has moderated that. But for people to say not only that God says this, but to say my God is better than your God, good grief.
What's funny is they say, my God is better than your God, but theoretically they're all referring to the same God. So what they're saying is my dogma is better than your dogma because my God is the same as yours.
Well, they're saying the same thing that nobody understands. And if you look back in the history of religion, before we knew what bacteria or viruses or hurricanes or even thunderstorms were, and you study the evolution of theology from Zeus and Jupiter and all the way through what we believed, what the Jews believed in Egypt and the salvation and the splitting of the Red Sea and then the Christians and the Messiah and then Muhammad and the Hindus still worship multiple gods. The Buddhists think they come back over and over and over. Who's right? Nobody's right. Because nobody can know by virtue of definition if there is a God. No human on earth can define what God is, wants, says, thinks, or means. Is that not true?
It is true, and I thank you for saying those things. I think I agree with you pretty much entirely. And now I have to let you go because I got a couple of other callers.
Thank you, bye.
Thank you, Gary. Take care. Okay, we have some open lines, 713-526-5738. Still haven't had anyone comment on my question, what does the phrase Black Lives Matter, what does that mean to you? How do you interpret that? Okay, there we go. And Jerry, you're on next. How you doing tonight?
No, I'm doing okay.
What's on your mind?
What's on my mind is, if memory serves me correct, that 2012, wasn't it the $700 million bond issue that everybody kind of like supported, didn't say anything about?
I can't recall specifically. I'm sorry.
I think that's what they're talking about there. I don't think either of those two women, and I think they're both good women, don't get me wrong. I'm not thinking they're lying, but that was a badly done deal to begin with under a different school superintendent. We had to resign over that when people found out what really happened.
Of course, he resigned with this enormous golden parachute.
Oh, yeah.
I would take unemployment on that basis.
He gets like nearly $300,000 a year, yeah.
Oh, he got several million. Several
ridiculous sum of money. He got
several million dollars for resigning for basically breaching the contract. Because they fired him.
They fired him, but the thing about it was is he got himself into trouble. What he did was is he had an interview with somebody at the Houston Press, the lady who does the Houston Press runs it, and Downing. And he said one or two things there he shouldn't have said. He put his foot in his mouth.
Well, he was fired, and as a consequence of being fired, he was given several million dollars. I will take being terminated on that basis any day.
Oh, yeah, sure, me too. Saavedra, but you know what? You notice that politicians all sat there and said, oh, yeah, we support that, and then they didn't say another word.
Well,
everything.
Go ahead.
Well, let me explain to you here. The reality was that thing was lowballed from the get-go, and I'll tell you a little story that actually has to do with KPFT. There was somebody on there before you named Larry Payne, who had a show and everything, and he actually went around behind the scenes and argued for a better deal, you know, argued for more money in that bond issue. He sat there and said, that's not enough money to people. He only said anything on the air about it after I came up to him and actually sat there and said, I showed him that I figured out what was really going on. I sat there and said, it was clear that they lowballed that thing and they didn't want anybody to know what the devil was. The devil was in the details on that thing. They're sitting there saying that they want, both those women are saying they want an audit of what was already a flawed deal to begin with.
Mm.
Is what's going on there. And everything. And there's lots of people in certain parts of Houston that, you know, if they could get a hold of Saavedra, Saavedra shouldn't walk in certain neighborhoods in Houston. It could be dangerous.
Okay,
anyway.
Jerry. Yeah, I'm going to, if you want to, like, give us a final word, but I've got a couple of other callers now.
No, that's fine. I just think that's ridiculous, though. The reason why I didn't vote for Jolanda Jones was because she was on the GLBT thing, and I kind of, like, think about that list the same way you do. Usually I'd vote that list.
Yeah. Yeah, I go about 90% of the list.
Yeah. She did not, though, answer any of the questions for the League of Women voters.
Hmm.
And that's when I decided I'm going to go with whoever answered the question better on the League of Women voters and all that. So.
And actually, now that you mention it, I do want to point out the League of Women Voters They are online. They generally have information on all the candidates. They are nonpartisan. They are pro-election. That is their position.
They just want you to go out and vote and have an informed vote. Yeah,
exactly.
They don't care how you vote.
So
that's exactly right.
I don't know, because of, you know, always trying to sort through all the candidates, but I certainly would recommend considering the League of Women Voters as a resource.
Yeah, and I would highly suggest or urge,
Do you know their, let's see, what are they online? They're,
I totally agree with you on that.
LWVHouston.org, League of Women Voters in Houston, LWVHouston.org. Strongly encourage you to visit their site.
Yeah, LWVHouston.org. You're exactly right.
I'm going to let you go, Jerry.
The first version of it in front of my schnoz.
I appreciate your calling.
Well, someday I want to have a real conversation about education, because you have anything about that off the air. But this is like, everything we've discussed so far is tiddlywinks.
The thing you need to do, Jerry, is be the first caller, because
usually
that means the first caller can easily
sometimes
end up getting 10 or 15
Normally,
minutes.
Normally, I don't do that. I wait until somebody says something that fires me up, and then I call
them. Yeah, well, if you want to have a 10-minute conversation, be the first caller. You'll probably get one.
Yeah, thanks. Bye-bye.
Take care, Jerry. We still have open lines, and we still have about 13 minutes. 713-526-5738. Wayne, you're up next. You're on the air. How you doing tonight, Wayne?
Hello, Mike. How you doing? I'm doing just fine. This is a great conversation
Thank
to
you.
Have, and I'm glad you had those candidates in.
No, I'm glad they called.
Go ahead.
Yeah, I'm just saying, I'm glad they called. You know, it's an open-air show.
Yeah, and I agree with them both wholeheartedly. That until we stop voting for tax cuts and stop letting churches decide what schools are going to be open, and they can use our tax dollars to basically make these charter schools, which takes away from the schools of the city of Houston.
Conservatives have been against public schools since the creation of public schools. Do you have the radio on in the background?
Yeah, let
you
me
might
turn it down.
Yeah.
Okay, hold on. Oh, that better?
That's better. Thank you.
Okay. Sorry about that. Let me say, I voted early, and it's already a done deal.
Yep.
Jolanda had my vote when she opened her mouth and said she was running for the District 4. I live in District 4.
Mm-hmm.
And I see that they are closing all the schools in District 4.
She might be a fine representative in as an HISD trustee. I think that the schmoozing part might be a little bit of a challenge for her. But otherwise, I agree with most of what she wants to do.
Well, let me tell you something. Let me tell you something about Jolanda. I would vote for any woman that get up and go against a man trying to take something away from her. And it was about maybe 2-3 weeks ago. Jolanda was over there working at a station. I won't call the name here, but anyway, they broke into a car, right?
Really?
Yeah, they broke into a car, stole a computer and a purse. When she came out and saw these guys doing this here, and man, she took after them guys and went to get them. Now,
yeah, I don't think I'd want to piss off Jolanda, frankly.
Yeah, it did.
She's a big lady,
and
I don't mean that. I mean she's a tall, healthy-looking lady, and I don't think I'd want to be on her wrong side.
A fine-looking woman, and she'll stand up and fight for what's right.
Physically, literally, figuratively.
Yeah, a fine-looking woman, she'll stand up and fight for what's right. But what I want to say is that, she, and they had a picture of it. I mean, she tried to stop them, but they got away with her purse, and in the interim, she got her foot hurt, but thank God she's all right.
Was she able to hang on to her computer, because the date is always more important?
No, they got it. They got it because they were in the car.
I hope she had a backup. Date is more important than the machine.
I hope she did, too. But I want to say that if I'd have been there to do that, I'd have had to spank her. But I don't know if I could have spanked her anyway, because I don't think she would have took a spanking.
No, not much, man. I think you would have ended up on the wrong side of that spanking.
Maybe so. But I love Jolanda, and anytime she runs anything here in this city, she will have the support of the parish family. But to make it known that I could not vote for Hero. There's nothing in Hero that says anything that I support. First of all, and it's just not a good law. It didn't it it started off as a bad law, and the city and mayor had a chance to rewrite the law, and she didn't. She chose to let it go the way she wanted it to go, and hopefully, I hope everybody understands that the way it was done, it just was bad. It had too many foes against it. You understand what I'm saying? When she could have made choices to take things out and do it a better way, she didn't. Now, I listened to the NAACP, and they said that from their headline offices that they did not support, on a letter, they did not support this writing of this ordinance as it was. Now, you might need to go back and make sure of that, but I listened to them talk on the radio, and it might have been on your show, or not your show, but on KPLC.
Sure.
Yeah, and they said that they did not support this ordinance as it was rolled. Now, I've heard a lot of people jump up and say that the NAACP is supporting this law, and that's just not true. That's not what was said.
I think that, you know, whether you're for it or against it, and I'm not going to tell you you're wrong. I mean, your opinion is yours and my opinion is mine. The thing that I object to is the lies, distortions, and exaggerations that opponents have
used. There haven't been any lies told, Mike. Let me tell you something about the city of Houston, Mike. Yeah, I think you've lived there long enough to know that you cannot pass a law like this here and state that men can go in a women's bathroom on a day that they wake up and decide that this is just not feasible in the city of Houston, man. This is going to cause a problem if this law is passed, and it's going to cause a major problem because, let me say this here, and I'll listen to you. If they had took that part of it out, you understand what I'm saying? It might have worked. But on this basis alone, let me tell you something. I got grandkids.
Okay, hold on now, because
I got sisters, I got a wife.
I have to now just interrupt because you said that after you said that one thing, I could interrupt. So Egberto wants to make a comment here.
Look,
let him go ahead.
I love Wayne.
But that's not going
to
change me.
No, we're not trying to change your mind.
Your mind is your mind.
I love Wayne. Wayne is a
great caller.
I love a great supporter. Rain is simply wrong on this issue.
And in your opinion.
In my opinion, Wayne is wrong. And it's very important. And especially, this hurts me more as a black person. And I have to say why. It hurts me more as a black person because I've seen in this issue with the hero movement or the folks that are working against hero do something in the black community that is horrendous. Because one of the issues within the black community is the support of not only diversity, but equality and justice.
Equality before the law.
Exactly. And what they have done in distorting what this line, and I'm not blaming Brother Wayne at all, because that is what he sees. I've read the law. I've read it.
Wayne, may I speak, sir?
Okay. Hold on, Wayne. Egberto, I'm going to ask you to.
I'm wholeheartedly against it, Egberto, is the fact that we have too many perverts in the city of Houston. This is the problem with it, Egberto. You cannot judge these people in the city of Houston on let's all get together and live a great life.
Wayne, what is your definition of a pervert?
It's not in Houston.
We're getting close to the end of the show, so we have to start getting succinct.
They got a whatchamacallit over there where they couldn't even hire all the rape offenders in the city.
Wayne.
And they claimed they were going to turn them loose. Let me finish.
No, we're running out of time, which is why I'm having to cut you short a little bit. We're running out of time, and I've got another caller I want to get on, but I don't want to be rude to you. So I'm just going to ask you really quick, and I need a short answer. What is your definition of a pervert?
A rapist.
Okay, that's not a pervert. That's a criminal.
That's a rapist.
Yeah, that's a criminal.
They don't have to be. There's some rapists out here who have never been caught. Can you explain to me why there's 6,000? Can you explain to me why there's 6,000 backlog of rape cases open in the city of Houston that they haven't adjudicated yet?
I cannot, but that's a different question.
So therefore, you don't know who the rapists are, right?
Okay, Wayne.
You don't know who all of them are, right?
I apologize, but I've got two callers now, and I've got five minutes.
I appreciate the time. I thank you, Wayne.
Thank you for calling. I appreciate Wayne calling. Okay, next up is Jason, and then we have one more caller I'm going to try to get on after Jason.
Hello, how you doing?
Okay, how are you, Jason?
I'm doing all right. I appreciate you having me on, and I appreciate the show. I really appreciate the discourse that takes course on your show.
Thank you.
What I just want to say is what Black Life means to me is it's just not just a, it's a phrase that kind of symbolizes the emotion of black people. I can't speak for everyone.
I understand the emotion. I mean, I'm a white guy. I try to empathize. I can't physically be in everybody's shoes, so I do the best I can do. But the phrase Black Lives Matter, when you connect that with the very powerful objections that come up when someone says all lives matter, and I'm not going to do interpretations here. I just but that's the thing that intrigues me. So specifically,
I'll tell you this. I don't have an objection to all lives matter. I guess the weird thing about the whole all lives matter movement is, to me, it was done as a rejection to Black Lives Matter.
You know, I don't agree. I don't disagree with that. I think that maybe the framing is a problem. The phrase Black Lives Matter, when it first became like consciousness, I think I understood the intent. Essentially, if I may be just narrow, I think what they meant is Black Lives Matter at least as much as white lives.
Right. Well,
that's what it means.
And I guess the second part to my definition of what I was saying is that emotions come based upon recent events that seem to imply that they don't. You know, that's to me where it was coming from.
But when you have the Black Lives Matter supporters objecting vociferously to the phrase all lives matter, I think that that's a tactical error on their parts. I think what they need to then do is clarify what they mean by Black Lives Matter and not dismiss all lives matter.
But I would say, though, I have also heard some clarify stating that, hey, we're not saying all lives don't matter. What we're saying, and we're not opposed to all lives don't matter, but what we're saying is in these particular times, in this particular instance, right now, I mean, because the way I look at it is it's almost, and I might be wrong, but just, and this is just my opinion, but it almost seems as if you don't have to say white lives matter.
Well,
that's really what I think the people who are strongly opposing it, is what they're hearing.
I need to
it's
cut
not
you
they
off.
Don't hear, they're not hearing all lives matter.
Jason,
that's what the words
I need,
the phrase
I need
are.
To cut,
but to them, it's
hold on.
Off
I need to cut you off because I got another caller and we got 1 minute left. I appreciate your call. I appreciate what you're saying. I think it's great to have a headline like Black Lives Matter. I think then it needs to be amplified. Anne, you're up next. I don't know if I'm going to get to that last caller. No, I guess it's not going to be a problem. Anne? There you go. Anne.
Right, I'm Ann McCoy, and I'm...
Whoops! Okay, Ann, how you doing?
I'm fine, how are you?
I'm good, you're on the air. You got a minute. You got 30 seconds.
My name is Ann McCoy, and I'm running for HISD School Board District 4. I'm running because, Houston, we have a problem. We need to come together to work to create the education system that our children need and deserve in order to become prosperous Houstonians. So I'm asking people who haven't turned out to vote yet to come out and vote tomorrow and vote for Ann McCoy. My name is the third one on the ballot for HISD District 4.
Okay. Thank you so much for calling.
Bye-bye.
Egberto, do we have like 15 seconds for a last caller? Okay, just put them on. Oh, we got a dial tone. That's a great way to wrap up the show. You've been listening to Think Wing Radio with Mike Koenig on KPFT 90.1 FM in Houston. My compadre, Egberto Willis, has been on engineering. He's got his own show, Politics Done Right, on KPFT 90.1 Thursdays from 3 to 4 p.m. So I guess I'll give it a rest after tonight for a while. But remember, if your vote didn't matter, they wouldn't try so hard to suppress it. Vote tomorrow if you haven't voted already. And if you're not registered, spend the next several weeks getting registered so you can vote in the presidential elections. Have a great night. I appreciate all the callers, even the ones I had to cut off a little bit. Thank you so much. Have a great week.
Limitless capitalist expansion implodes the global economy. As our civil liberties are eviscerated in the name of national security, how shall we endure and resist?
That's journalist and author Chris Hedges, who will receive the National Peacemaker Award and give the keynote address at the annual awards dinner of Houston Peace and Justice Center on Saturday, November 14th. The dinner will be at University of Houston Hilton Hotel. A special reception for Hedges and our local Peacemaker awardees, Judith Nieto, Ben Franklin, Kraft Rendon, and the Texas Criminal Justice Coalition will be hosted by Sissy Farenthold in the afternoon before the dinner. Come help us celebrate the work of Hedges and our local peacemakers. Advance reservations are required. For details and to reserve tickets for the dinner and the reception, visit hpjc.org. This is KPFT Houston.
You can help KPFT day or night every time you shop. Your grocery store's loyalty card can be associated with KPFT, and you can support the station anytime you buy at no additional cost to you. At Kroger, bring the barcode printed on your member packet from kpft.org, then scan it along with your Kroger Plus card each time you go to the register. You'll be